The Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has announced that Israel is preparing for a full military takeover of the Gaza Strip, a move aimed at the total defeat of Hamas and the rescue of the remaining hostages. While the plan reportedly has the backing of Israel's security cabinet, it's already facing criticism from military officials and sparking concerns from international allies, including the United States. I'm joined on the line now from Israel by Yigal Marcus, who is the director of Republicans Overseas Israel. Yigal, thanks for weighing in as always. How do you interpret Netanyahu's announcement? Is this a strategic necessity or a political gamble?
Well, I think that it depends who you ask. I think that at the end of the day, you know, thanks to Great Britain and France and other Western European countries, including not only that, but Canada and others, Hamas feels emboldened and they think they're going to win. And that's not an option that Israel can live with. And so Israel needs to defeat Hamas. And the only way they're going to defeat Hamas, it appears, due to Hamas's intransigence, is by absolutely being taken over and defeating them and taking over the Gaza Strip. I don't think it's something that anybody wants to do, but Hamas and, quite frankly, the United Kingdom and France and Canada and others that have effectively are trying to force Israel to prematurely end this war before our hostages are released and before we accomplish our objectives are effectively forcing Israel to do that. It really doesn't have a choice at this point. If we don't win this war, this is going to happen again and again and again, and next time it's going to be worse, and it'll be more bloody, and more Jewish souls, innocent souls, are going to be killed, and that's not something that we can live with, and it's not something anybody should ask us to live with, and so it is a necessity. I don't think it's something that Bibi wants to do, but I think that he realizes that there really are no other options on the table other than taking over and utterly defeating Hamas.
Yigal, any idea what a full military takeover of Gaza would actually look like on the ground in practical terms?
Yeah, I think things would actually be a lot better than they are today. I think that an Israeli military takeover of Gaza would mean, number one, that we control security. We control, we can get the utilities back up and running. We control the streets. We control food distribution. We control, you know, we control the ability for Gaza's civilians to try to go back to a normal life, to try and rebuild and to make a better future for themselves, while at the same time assuring that Hamas never rears its ugly head again and utterly try to attack Israel. So I think people are all concerned about it. And it doesn't mean that you're not going to have remnants of Hamas who are going to try to cause trouble and be violent and you know, continue to commit terror against Israeli soldiers and Israelis. But what it does mean is that an Israeli control will bring stability to a part of the region that has, of course, seen lots of war. But it could actually be much better for Gaza's civilians, knowing that there's actual security on the streets, that the gangs and the Hamas terrorists aren't around to murder loved ones and to threaten and to intimidate. So I think, believe it or not, an Israeli military occupation, until such time that the international community can step forward in a realistic way, would actually be really good for the civilian population of Gaza.
Do you believe that this operation will improve or complicate efforts to rescue the remaining hostages?
Well, I think that, again, Hamas, thanks to Keir Starmer and Emmanuel Macron and you know, the Canadian Prime Minister, you know, effectively they have been given no incentive to release hostages, none. They have every incentive not to release hostages. So they've behaved that way. So assuming that they're not going to release hostages by their own free will anymore, which seems to be the case because they walked away from talks being emboldened by these awful leaders in the West, they feel like, you know, we don't have to give them up. And so we don't have a choice. We don't have a choice. What we do know is that we can never allow this to happen again. We can never allow Hamas to rule again and to have any kind of presence in the Gaza Strip, and we need to protect the future of the Jewish people as well. Now, do I think that it's all lost for the hostages? I really hope not. I pray for them 3 times a day, and I really, really hope that we can get them. But we've been pushed into a corner of where we don't really have a choice right now. Doing nothing is not an option, as you saw from these terrible images of these Holocaust, literally Holocaust survivor hostages that look emaciated and starved by these Hamas animals. We cannot, you know, we've been pushed into a corner. This is happening. We need to put an end to this, and Hamas can no longer exist. So, you know, we don't really have a choice, and Bibi doesn't really have a choice. Nobody has stepped forward with any kind of solution except for, again, the Canadians, the British, and the French, who really think that forcing Israel to stop a war before we get our hostages out and giving Hamas every incentive to survive is the way to go, which, of course, is ridiculous.
I think a lot of our listeners, if not all of them, completely empathize with that point of view that Israel doesn't really have a choice. What is the mood among Israeli civilians regarding this announcement? Is that the general sentiment there as well, that Bibi doesn't really have another choice?
Well, you always have a vociferous minority who are the ones that get out and demonstrate and shut down you know, public areas and transportation systems, things like that. And frankly, I sympathize with every Israeli who is going through a very, very tough time right now, because we see the images of our hostages. We see how they're being treated, and it's very difficult to watch, especially, you know, families who have Holocaust survivors who are still alive. But So you have a vociferous minority who step forward and somehow are trying to pressure Bibi. I'm not sure what they're asking him to do, because he doesn't have a choice. Hamas is not at the table to negotiate, so there's nothing to talk about. So there really isn't a choice, and I think people feel like we never really wanted to overtake the entire Gaza Strip, but we really do not have a choice right now. Hamas cannot win. The Jewish lives need to actually mean something, and we can never go back to what it was before. And by allowing Hamas to win, it emboldens them to do this over and over and over again. That is not an option we can live with.
If the stated goal is the elimination of Hamas, what happens after? I mean, what's Israel's exit strategy, if any?
Well, I actually think that President Trump's idea is still a very smart idea. Of course, you know, our enemies in the UK and in France and in Canada and Australia and others aren't going to agree to it. But the idea, you know, we have to be realistic and practical. You know, thanks to Hamas, Gaza is an absolute destruction. There is very little infrastructure left, except, of course, those remaining tunnels. There is very little, you know, there's a lot to be rebuilt. And you can't have 2 million people walking around while it gets rebuilt. So I think that the idea of voluntary movement of these people to a place where they could have a stable life, you know, it's going to take 10 years to rebuild. This is not a 2 week job. This is going to be 10 years to rebuild the infrastructure the way it has to be rebuilt. To me, that seems to be the most realistic option, where we can move them to areas, to different countries where they can live, they can raise their children in peace, not under the thumb of Hamas, allowing the international community to rebuild Gaza in a really impressive kind of way. You know, into a Middle East Dubai that the international community could control and operate. And then if they want to come back, they can come back, but it's going to come back into a place where there are better jobs, there's a better future, better infrastructure, better homes, better apartments, a better distribution of food, you know, and that's a future that they can live with. But for the next 10 years, can you imagine the amount of building and just infrastructure that needs to be built and done in order to make these people their future better? It's going to be a very, very long ride, and we have to be realistic in dealing with it. And President Trump was bold enough to come up with ideas to try and solve the problem. This is not forced displacement. This is voluntary displacement. But the other option is staying around for the next 10 years with very, very little hope.
Yigal, I have one more question for you. Everything you say makes such perfect sense, but how does one translate that to the international community? I mean, what kind of diplomatic fallout do you anticipate if and when this plan is carried out?
Well, I think the way to think about it is, how much worse can it possibly get, right? Think
Good
about
question.
It. Keir Starmer and Emmanuel Macron and Canada and all these other countries are actively supporting Hamas. So how much worse can it possibly get for Israel, you know, if we even care about what they say? They have lost all credibility. If you walk the streets of Israel saying the word Britain, France, Canada, Australia, it's like a curse word today. It's a curse word because what they have done is so undermined and the Jewish people and its homeland. They have so fueled our greatest terrorist enemies who are trying to execute a new Holocaust, and we're seeing the pictures of it. You know, I don't really care, and I don't think anybody here really cares about them anymore. They've literally have no credibility. And so what I think needs to happen is that we have President Trump in office. He's the most powerful person in the world with the most powerful economy. The what he says is what Israel is going to do. And I think that together, Israel and America, and for any other peace-loving countries who are realistic, can participate. And I think you'll see that, by the way, with a lot of the Gulf countries and a lot of the future Abraham Accord members. They're going to want to actually build in a realistic future to help the Gazans rebuild, but rebuild when Hamas is no longer amongst them. And that, I think, is going to be very exciting. I don't really care about what Britain, France, Canada, Australia, and the Nordic countries care. I don't think anybody here does anymore. They've already done their damage, and we just cannot trust them anymore. They're done.
And sadly, I think we can add to that list South Africa, where many of our listeners are. Yigal Marcus, Director of Republicans Overseas Israel. What you say, and I've said it already, makes so much sense. Thank you for helping us unpack a major turning point in Israel's Gaza strategy as the government prepares for what could be the most extensive military action since October the 7th. The stakes, political, military, and humanitarian, are as high as ever.